So, shifting topic just a little mm-hmm. bit, I mean, what you talked about are some of the political things, some mm-hmm. things that are outside the control of the tribunal that have to do with politics, say, within the Rwandan government.
Mm-hmm.
And you've also talked about issue and maybe one might say a disappointment with the prosecution here for not prosecuting certain mm-hmm. individuals. Mm-hmm. But turning to look at what might be reasonably under the control of the tribunal itself and having to do with your ability to defend those people who have been indicted mm-hmm. within this tribunal, what do you see as having been done well here in terms of enabling your ability to do offer a fair defense, and what do you see as the limitations for that?
Okay. First of all, I'm simply not disappointed with the prosecution. I am critical of the prosecution for their one side, and so I'm going to be very clear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely critical, because I see it as a violation mm-hmm. of international law, fair trial rights, and the aims of this tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
No question in my mind about it. And they should be held, the prosecution should be held accountable. Okay, now in terms of the limitations, okay, let me start out by saying that I think that key as a lawyer, speaking strictly, you know, as a law, strictly for, you know, legal technique and practice, the key element, the key, the beginning and fundamental issue for a fair trial is actually found in Article 20, the rights of the accused in the statute, one of which right, and number four, I think, is to be notified in detail of the charges against you. And I think a key element of unfairness is the kinds of indictments that are issued and confirmed in this tribunal. Now, I will also say that when defense counsel raise issues, sometimes there are judgments, there are decisions which support our points of view, sometimes there aren't. So it's not an immutable situation. But by and large, the indictments here fail to give any specific notice as to the elements in the crime and certainly the modes of liability. And we're not dealing with a tabula rasa. There is clear law, not only from national jurisdictions, but particularly from ICTY and some ICTR cases, which demand that that an accused know what he has to defend against. You know, Kupreska comes to mind, most recently the Mavunye appeal decision, Nitagarora appeal chamber decision. There are numerous ones. And there are requirements. And the indictments in general here, because I've read a lot of judgments and I've looked at their indictments for the judgments on the internet, to me it's absolutely appalling as to how one even begins to defend against charges which are broad, which are vague, which don't identify the criminal conduct, some paragraphs which talk about events but don't even talk about the persons implicated, or co-defendant cases where the individual co-defendants are not necessarily named. And so I think that this is a fundamental issue, a fundamental fair trial issue that concerns me. And I think that's where, you know, certainly from the defense point of view, you have to start by analyzing the indictment or the several indictments, it may be amended indictments in your cases or whatever, but to look at the defects in these indictments, because this really, really goes to the heart of what your job is and what you can do. And secondly, you know, I think that in terms of actually functioning, we are in a situation, it may be particular to the UN or other legal aid systems as well, and it's also true in the federal system in the states, where if you want to go on a mission to investigate a situation, you need permission from an intermediary. Here it's the defense unit, which is part of the registry. And I think that from a structural perspective, there needs to be a more direct way that defense can be allowed the independence to decide what needs to be done to prepare a case and be allowed the resources, whether it's, you know, decent office space, whether it's a mission, whether, you know, whatever it is, to do it. Now, clearly, we are allowed to do some things. I'm not saying this is always a problem. But you're in a situation where you have to, there's someone else making a determination as to whether you can actually do something. There's someone else saying, yeah, you need 6 days, but you're only going to get 4 to talk to witnesses. And mind you, we're dealing with, you know, at least 2 or 3 language, English, French, and Kinyarwanda in all of these dealings. But I think that here, you know, the defense, there is a structural impediment. When I worked at Legal Aid, of course, we had to go to a supervisor to get permission for an expert. I'm not suggesting there isn't a process, but there needs to be a reasonable process, and one in which the issues, for example, of budget are looked at very carefully. You know, I don't know what the whole budget for the ICTR is, but I certainly know that it looks as if, from appearances, budgets are spent on some things but not others. I'm saying that's the kind of structural evaluation that has to be done in terms of the fair trial issues.